G'day, Jeremy. How are you?
G'day, Annie. You know, all things considered, doing okay. How are you?
Yeah, all things considered, edging towards the budget. And the Australian Unemployed Workers Union has been very active leading up to this budget. First up, the Economic Inclusion Committee that the government formed actually said that, yes, indeed, everybody who is on unemployment benefits and other social security benefits are living below the poverty line, and that the rate should be raised.
Yeah, so try to take some pressure off itself. Months ago now, the government announced this committee, and the committee reported what everybody, I think, in the country expected it to, with its primary recommendation that the rate of particularly job seeker and youth allowance needs to be raised immediately. That was their, they had a bunch of recommendations, but that was like their central primary recommendation. And of course, that report gets tabled, and we've seen a whole lot of gymnastics from several government ministers who've been asked about it, saying very cynical, deflective things about, how there were a lot of recommendations, and we're looking at them, but sort of like ignoring that like pure fact of the report that recommended the committee they set up themselves recommended that you must lift these payments, or people's lives are going to be destroyed in this budget.
In fact, the Unemployed Workers Union actually points out that new polling from Essential suggests that half of Australian voters support an increase in job seeker payment.
Yeah, this isn't 5 or 10 years ago, thank God. There's been, the last couple of years, we've seen not just that polling, which really does capture the community sentiment. I think it was only something like 26% of that sample opposed. That's a big majority of community support for these payments. We know, even far flung conservative voices are coming out and saying it needs to raise. A lot of our members, a lot of people in the community have been calling, hassling, lobbying, whatever you want to call it, their MPs. And basically, as we speak, even a big percentage, over 20% of the lower house Labor MPs, I think there's 17 of them now, have now broken ranks and publicly stated that this budget, the rate needs to raise. I don't think we've seen such support for this, at least not in the last couple of decades or even my lifetime. And yet, nevertheless, government still seems poised not to guarantee a lift to everybody in this budget.
Well, there was a little break in the dam wall because there was some bleating about increasing the rate for people over 55, which I'll have to add, 55 originally for women was the pension age. So mm-hmm. retaining people on JobKeeper rate is saving the public purse effectively from paying an aged pension.
Yeah, that's completely right. We know that the numbers and demographics of people on JobSeeker are skewing older now. We know, I think the government isolated that the fastest growing and the biggest demographic now on JobSeeker are people over 55, and as you were saying, that's got a lot to do with that. It's got a lot to do with the changes which Labor instigated last time they were in government, the raise in the pension age. There are like a lot of people now, before they're able to reach that pension age, being thrown onto JobSeeker and forced to be into obligations, and sort of in that waiting period before they can access their pension. So that also seemed like a very calculated, divisive move from a government under pressure. That information leaked out. They haven't announced it themselves. They've been asked about this supposed increase to only 55 plus. on JobSeeker, but it's looking more and more likely that that's what they'll do, which is an incredibly cruel and quite deranged measure if they instigate it. For one, if you're over 60 on JobSeeker, that there already is a supplement for you, but it also just divides people. It's old. It's really old, deserving versus undeserving, divide and conquer tactics. And
yeah,
obviously
it
all
is.
Our members have been really pissed off about it, but it's been good to see there's been wholesale community backlash to that measure. We know rates of homelessness skew younger than that. We know rates of suicide for people on welfare skew younger than that. We're trying not to play, or we're trying not to speak under that narrative, because doing generational or demographic warfare doesn't really help anybody. So it's been like really pleasing to see, despite government trying to do that, that welfare recipients have stood together. Our young members on youth allowance, our older members, even people over 55 that we speak to and that we support, are saying like, we didn't ask for this. We don't want this. We want everyone to have it. Like, no community advocacy group has asked for this. Their own economic inclusion community certainly didn't ask for that. So yeah, it's a very cynical tactic, I think, for government to take some heat off itself.
Yeah, it is, really. And that idea of young versus old is really tragic approach, as well as the deserving versus the undeserving. And I noticed that in the figures, like JobSeeker over 55 include about 227,000 people, which is about a third of the overall amount of people who are this affects, which is 684,000, which is interesting,
yeah.
Isn't it? It's an inverse of the two-thirds, one-third rule, which is of people who support an increase in the rate.
Yeah, that's completely, nailed it on the head there. And it's really hard to overstate how damaging it is for government to do this. They've done this with done these kind of measures in other areas, but there was so much anger, as well as the outrage. There was so much anguish for folks who were under 55. Because when a government sort of announces this and announces like a certain group as deserving more income support than others, if you're not in that deserving group, you're made to feel that government doesn't want to support you, you're the problem. These are people like really struggling and feeling like if the government doesn't support them, that they'll feel like government doesn't want me around. The government doesn't value my life. The government doesn't think I'm important. The government doesn't think I deserve targeted support. I'm like, it's submarines and stadiums and tax cuts. And we're already getting a lot of like very anguished messages from people from younger demographics, because this is a we'll see what happens on Tuesday. It doesn't seem like it's going to be good. Even the proposed increases to over 55 seems like a drop in the ocean. There's talk that it's only going to be like a couple of bucks extra a day for them anyway. But those people who seemingly are going to miss out entirely, being given no hope by this government in the budget, and it's hard to underestimate the the pure, not just like the material damage which we all know about, and I can talk about all the meals people are skipping and have can't afford their energy bills and being driven into homeless, but the sheer like psychic damage of doing that to people. We're already seeing some of the results of it. People contacting us in the union, and we're really fearful. This might be a budget that really, really breaks people. Labor spent a decade, years in opposition, sort of talking on one side of their mouth, saying that yeah, well, when we get in, maybe we'll look at supporting you. People, I feel like people are like hanging on to like a little like tiny tendril of hope, and it seems like that might be extinguished, which is very grim, scary, and awful.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that, you, as you're pointing out, we're talking about not just policy, we're talking about community and genuine community and what society really means. And, you know, valuing nuclear subs for war creation compared to having a strong society, I mean, it's a fairly stark difference, isn't it?
Yeah, this last couple of weeks and this budget has made, you know, that darkness, you know, more overt. It's literally, you know, they're banging on about a budget surplus now, but, you know, it's literally like you can see, and people are awake to this. They can see all the money, all the billions they're spending, you know, on the war chest, all the billions that they're spending on the rich. And then they see, you know, the Jim Chalmers press conferences. They see what Labor is saying about, oh, how hard it is for us to give low-income people money, and we inherited this bad budget, and it's too difficult. I think, like, people are seeing through that BS, right? Because it's so stark. Like, you know, budgets are always about choices, and
yeah,
you know,
it's about choices.
At least in my lifetime, I've always funneled more money to the well-off than the low-income. But this one's, like, really stark, and I think, like, extra stark that it's a Labor government, you know, doing this as well.
You went down to demonstrate outside Albanese's office in Merrickville. Can you tell us a little bit about that event?
Yeah, so last Friday, you know, in and around all this talk about budget constraint, and then the whispers about maybe only those over 55 would get the raise. You know, we're really compelled by our membership to hold an action. So about 100 of us gathered outside Anthony Albanese's electorate office in Marrickville, where we, you know, basically just gave the megaphone, the microphone to welfare recipients, and they were opening their heart and opening their demands. For Albanese, you know, we heard from a whole range of people. You know, we heard from a single mum at the rally who was, you know, talking about the devastation of, you know, having to make terrible choices of, you know, material support she could give her own child. You know, we heard from a younger homeless man about the battle and how the welfare system helped, like, trap him on the street. In poverty, heard from a lot of people. You know, we got everyone who came to write. Obviously, Anthony wasn't there. And the cops were there to block off the office, so we didn't get much access. But they let one of us in to, you know, basically we went around the protest and got dozens and dozens of people there to write their messages to the Prime Minister. And thankfully, the Australian Federal Police let one of us in to hand deliver all those messages. Again, you know, we just want to know. You know, we want the government to know that there's community outrage about this. They can't hide, you know, from this. People are suffering and will continue to show up and protest.
Thanks for talking to us today, Jeremy. Let's hope there's a reasonable outcome on this budget.
Fingers crossed. My hopes are low, but let's see what happens. Thanks for having me, Annie.
Yeah. That was Jeremy Poxton from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and more strength to their